Talking about the WHO, the people in our community that are the tapestry of our community and region, whether it's traveling the world or serving in our local jail as a women's celebrate recovery director, Gloria Vick makes an impact daily everywhere she goes. Gloria, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Glad to have you with us. My wife is named Gloria, so that just jumps out.
There's not many of us.
No, that's a really not great name, but I say the same thing. You are involved in something so important and meaningful in our community, and addiction, recovery, ministry. But before we go into that, we're going to do a Billy Graham thing I told you about, Billy Graham, all major religions. The great questions of life. Who are you? Where'd you come from? Where are you going? What's important to you? And literally, we're going to start with age birth. So share with us who you are.
Okay. Well, I'm 78. Okay. I thought it would take much longer for me to get this old. And I've discovered that aging is very time consuming.
It is.
There's a lot of doctors you end up seeing.
A lot more appointments, aren't there?
Yes. I was born in Nashville, Tennessee, okay. And I grew up outside of Nashville in a little town called Joelton.
Sure, oh, Joelton.
Yes. I'm an only child. So I was my daddy's son. He fished, and we used to come to Del Hollow Lake, and that was a long drive back then.
Oh, sure.
And we would fish there. So now I like fishing. I have my own fishing kayak, and I do that in spare time. But you see this on Facebook a lot where you used to play outside, catch lightning bugs.
Oh, yeah.
You'd come home when it got dark. That's how I grew up.
That's where we're contemporaries. Yeah, yeah. I understand that totally. That's me, sure.
And I didn't have any brothers and sisters to fight with, so I could fight with my neighbors and go home and have peace. And I like quiet time today, even.
I do, too. I do, too. So you had a fairly normal, sounded like a normal childhood growing up. And
we made homemade ice cream and all those kinds of things. Ate lots of watermelon, broke beans out under the tree.
Oh, sure. Yeah. We were talking with another program a while ago, how much we have lost as a society because of our, the family, the Waltons, that we've gained a lot. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities, but we've lost a lot of things as basic relationships that we haven't lost in this region as much as in the country. But so we're very fortunate. So you grew up and went to school and any experiences in school you want to talk about, or you kind of got a good family picture?
School wasn't that important to me, but I didn't get in trouble much. But my dad worked for the Board of Education. He was director of maintenance for Metropolitan Schools, or it became Metropolitan Schools. It was Davidson County School Board. And somehow they would know what I had done before I ever got home. So it was always frightening to go home because I knew I was going to get a spanking.
You just didn't know what. that one look probably got you.
Yeah.
So you grew up, that's right, you grew up in Davidson County, in the Joelton area, and high school in Joelton.
Yes. And I married right after high school, and we came to Tech in 1965.
Okay.
And learned to love Cookeville immediately. Burgess Falls was not a state park then, and we had an old Jeep, and we'd go down there, and you could drive right back to the head of the falls, and they had a picnic table back there, and we'd cook hot dogs, and it was just wonderful time. I love this area. I still like Burgess Falls today, especially after a rain.
You know, Tennessee Tech, what a joy and what an important institution in the state and region. But Cookeville and our area was off of the interstates didn't come through until the early 70s, late 60s. So we were always kind of an isolated region, and a lot of people didn't know a lot about this part of the world. And that isn't a bad thing if you don't want to grow too fast, but it was it's a wonderful region that everybody works together and enjoys. Talk about Tennessee Tech a little bit in your college years and what you did there.
Well, I worked at Delman. They were out on Fisk Road. It's not there anymore. They made some kind of car parts.
Okay.
And I worked in accounts payable with a lady, Lila Ligon, who grew up here. She was from Putnam County. And then my husband graduated with his BS degree in civil engineering.
So he was an engineer.
And so I started to Tech, but we had a son born the day he graduated or the night before, and I did not get to go to graduation.
For sure.
So I started school, but I didn't enjoy it. Every time I had a test, Scott was awake all night, or got an ear infection or something.
Yeah, you had another full time.
I did. So I didn't get a lot of hours in. My husband got his master's degree at Tech in civil engineering. So he was in ROTC.
Yeah.
But Tech Days back then was so fun. Memorial Gym. I could go early and get a seat for the basketball games, and it was packed out back then. There was standing room only. So I would go and save seats for us and our friends.
Oh, it was big. It was huge.
Yeah. And it was fun times. We cooked out, went to the parks, went to Del Hollow, would scuba dive. Could go out on an island and spend the weekend. And
what a rich childhood.
It's just a wonderful place.
Yeah, you know, you said that from Clarksville, Austin Peay had the Little Red Barn. And so MTSU, all the Western Kentucky, the OVC, of which Tech was, all had these basketball traditions, and they would fill those places up for basketball. And you sit right down on the floor, wouldn't you? I mean, when 5,000 people show up in Little Red Barn or Memorial Gym or whatever, you were really right there on the day. If you didn't get there early, you didn't get a seat.
I know. We wanted front row seats, so yeah. I got there early.
So then, you did that, and your husband and engineer service. Let's pick up there.
We had to report to Uncle Sam.
Yes.
So we went to Alexandria, Virginia, mm-hmm. for him to do officer basic school.
Sure.
And that was wonderful. I like every place I've ever lived.
That's great.
We could go into D.C. every weekend and get to see all the museums and all the monuments. And we lived really close to Mount Vernon. And our son lost his pacifier along the Potomac River near Mount Vernon. So that was the end of his pacifier days. But that was a wonderful time, too. We made good friends from Texas, and we're still friends with them today. And I've gotten to watch their grandchildren grow up over Facebook. And so there's just so many memories to every segment of life that you have.
Oh, and it's just... And you said Washington, D.C., Virginia, and what a rich time of your life to be able to have that, all that right there. And Tennessee and here, you did. So,
well, the only place we ever went on vacation when I was little was Florida. Mm-hmm. So, I'd never flown before or anything like that. But after we finished officer basic school, we went to Germany. And we were there 3 years. The Vietnam War ended while we were there, and he took a job as a civilian with the American government in Germany. So we got to stay an additional year and a half, and we traveled to over 20 countries.
What an experience, Lori. That's wonderful.
It's awesome. And I still love going back to Germany to visit.
Well, you know, the best education – most people say one can get is experience and what and travel and what you've seen. I mean,
our middle son was born in Stuttgart, Germany, so we would travel with two little boys.
Man, that is great. We're approaching the end of our first segment. We're going to come back. I think we've got you born and grown and traveling and doing stuff. We'll come back. We'll talk more about present day and your commitment right now with what things you're doing right now with addiction and recovery and the jail ministry. Anything that we got about a minute left? Anything else you want to mention during that period of your time that before we get into the next segment?
Well, I feel like I'm in a foreign town now because. And during college days, you learned all the Cookeville people, and you'd go out to eat, and there were always people you knew and could talk with. And now I go and never know anybody that's in the restaurant or in the stores. Or
well, they talk about Shoney's was out in the country.
Mm-hmm.
The fairgrounds was out. I mean, you know, it just is.
Willow was a dirt road.
I didn't
gravel
know.
Road.
An interstate drive didn't exist.
Right.
So it was true. It was a different era. And now today it's again we've got to be. I'm not trying to sound negative about my age, but being careful that we don't lose what makes us special: community, history, sense of place, because we can grow so fast. And I was part of a group trying to help the community grow. But you look back and see, it's about what we're talking about today. So we're out of time for the first segment. Gloria Vick, back shortly. Well, we're back. She's talking about our community and her journey that's still going on wide open, Gloria. So we talked the first segment about who are you and where have you been growing up? Now let's focus on today.
Can I add one thing?
You can add whatever you want, young lady.
After we moved back from Germany, we went to Jackson, Mississippi for a year and a half.
Okay.
And I loved Jackson, Mississippi. It was near the coast, and I had
State
wonderful
capital.
Neighbors, and a neighbor helped me learn to garden. And she said, you plant enough for the bugs also. She didn't believe. She was organic back then, and I didn't know what that was.
But
she planted enough for the bugs. And so that was a wonderful time to be there. We were involved in a Billy Graham crusade and got to work that and got to meet him. His daughter came to my house. I had prayer services leading up to the crusade, and his daughter Anne came to my house one day. So that was a fun time too. There's something about every place you live.
We're fortunate, and you're fortunate because I'm from Meridian, Mississippi.
Oh,
so when you say Jackson, grew up there, and we're just there's a lot of similarities. People are people, and relationships. Well, I'm glad you had a positive experience in my home state. Let's go full forward. You celebrate recovery director and working in our local jail is the women's celebrate director. Just how did you get involved or anything all the way through the years? Maybe I need to do that before we get to there. Anything else? Now
well, I did finish school, and I have three sons now, and I have six grandsons and one great-grandson. And a granddaughter. She's 26, and she's getting married, and I'm getting to help her do wedding stuff. So that's fun since I didn't have any girls. But when we came to Tech, we joined First Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. So church has always been special to me and has always been a part of my life. One of our ministers had a doctor out of Jamestown to come and do a class on Celebrate Recovery. And I was in that class. And from that class, he started going into the jail for the men for Celebrate Recovery.
I see.
And then his wife started going in for the women for Celebrate Recovery class. And she asked me to go with her. And she said the first time she took me in that I looked like a deer in headlights because we went through six locked doors. We were searched.
Oh, sure.
And in the training, they tell you to sit near the emergency button. She didn't do that. She was sitting at the other end of the class, and I said, no. They said, we're going to sit by that button, and I want to be bite.
I understand.
So I made her switch the room around, and I still sit near that button today, but there's never been any problems that I needed to use it. So that's how I got started. And then they moved to Destin, Florida, to be a minister of a church there.
Okay.
And so that left me to go into Celebrate Recovery. But I have four other ladies that go in with me now. It's a wonderful team.
Mm-hmm.
The jail administration is so easy to work with. Our sheriff.
We're very fortunate.
And Lieutenant Matt Stinnett has been over programs and volunteers, and he is a believer, and he is so supportive of our program also.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually started something really unique at our jail. It's called Program Pods, and he's developed one for men and for women.
Okay.
And if they are taking AA, Celebrate Recovery, or a parenting class, they are moved together into a pod, and what? They're not with general population.
Wow.
It's like-minded or together.
Yeah,
they're trying to better themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that, we are seeing so many good fruits from this program pod. And the state came to observe our women and the men. And the women told me that when the state came in, they were doing a Bible study in the day room.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of positives to getting to be in the program pod. You're free 24 hours a day. And he's just adding things all along to make it better for them. And so I wish people could see them the first time we get them for a class. And the last time, it's a 26 lesson program.
Okay.
And we try to do that in 3 months because women don't like to stay in jail. And as soon as they get out, they're out. So to finish a class, we have to do two lessons a night, which works out.
Mm.
And we just see them making so much progress. It's really... I'm old, I'm 78, and it doesn't make sense that I'm still going into the jail and ministering with these people.
Well, God's not through with you yet.
He makes a way.
You've got a passion. I can tell that just listening to you. Let's talk a little bit, too, about the stereotypes and then reality. There, by the grace of God, go me and you and everybody else, people. Talk about the inmate, people, any examples or case histories or anything that touched your heart about and what you're doing.
The youngest we've ever had was like 22,
okay.
And the oldest was in her 60s. And we do have quite a few women now in their 60s. But most of them have been abused as children or teenagers, and it was never dealt with.
So there's repression. I mean, there's subconscious.
Then someone in the family that they feel they can trust and that they are attached to dies, they plummet. They just don't handle death well at all. So, and then they feel alone. And that's when they start with the addiction. A lot of people start out with meth.
Mm.
And now the dangerous one is fentanyl.
Yes.
And the sheriff says that every pill they send to the lab has some trace of fentanyl in it, and it's never the same amount. So when they're buying the pills on the street, they don't know how much is in that pill. So we're seeing a lot of overdoses because of that. But anyway... When we get them, they're usually sick and tired of being sick and tired.
They bottomed out.
And a lot of them are ready to change. A lot of them take the class because if you're sentenced by the county, you get 30 days off your sentence when you complete our class. So a lot of them take it for that. But we do get some of those. We help to change some of them, but some of them are just there to get out earlier.
Sure. Go ahead.
If an inmate does not have a safe place to go when she gets out, if she's in our class, if she's willing to go to get further rehab, I help them find a place.
Mm-hmm.
I will pick them up at jail. I will have clothes waiting for them.
Mm-hmm.
I will take them. If they need an ID, I'll take them to get an ID. If they're born in Tennessee, I take them to get a birth certificate and pay for that for them. Our church pays for all of that. So we just help them get started.
Personal touch. Mm-hmm. We're going to come back in just a moment and go further on this. With Glory Vic, back soon. Well, we're back talking serving our local jail as a Women's Celebrate Recovery Director. One of the most important topics, one that's sometimes it's just overlooked or taken for granted, but it's a serious challenge in our community and every community. That's addiction recovery, and Glory, God bless you for what you're doing on a daily basis with the Lord to help change people's lives. Let's pick up where we left off. I'm starting to talk too much. Just share with us just anything about, before we move on to the future, anything else in this whole area of Celebrate Recovery, maybe a little bit more about Celebrate, and then we'll look in the future.
Celebrate Recovery is the 12 steps. Mm-hmm. It's almost the same as AA. But what makes it different is that it's faith-based, and it has the Bible incorporated into its program.
Yes.
And it also has the Beatitudes incorporated into each step. So they are learning. We're really created to be addicted to Christ, but we weren't taught
that. That's
right.
That's right.
And so addiction is a normal thing with us, really.
It is.
And all of us probably fight something. And Celebrate Recovery is for anybody. It's for those who have hurts, hang-ups, or bad habits. Now, there was only one perfect one in this world. So
that's right.
We all fall in that category. So that is how it got started with Rick Warren at Saddleback Church in California. Help put this book together. There is another good program in Putnam County called Life Recovery, and yes, it is faith-based as well. It's the 12 steps with the Bible, and it was written by Steve Arterburn, whose brother, Terry, used to live in Cookeville.
So we really
I know Steve. Yes, yeah. And that's a good program as well. It's being used at our rescue mission, and there's a at Life Church. They have some classes with Life Recovery. So it's a good program as well. So it's almost in every family, and we our nature helps us or tells us that we can love them out of addiction, and that's not true.
No.
We end up becoming enablers.
Yes.
And we make matters worse, actually. One time I asked a class, I said, I'm your loved one. How could I really help you? And they said, don't give me money. If you give me clothes, take the price tags off of them. If I tell you I'm hungry, take me grocery shopping.
Mm-hmm.
But don't give me money.
Yes.
And isn't that how we think we can fix everything?
Oh, sure.
Is money.
The easy, the quick way, and
yes,
it doesn't work. I remember I had a friend, personal testimony, and I've got more than one, but I never will forget it. He said in Alcoholics Anonymous or Celebrate Recovery or Life Recovery, when you're talking to someone who's an addict, you're not talking to your son or your daughter. You think you're talking to an addict, and that person is so addicted that they will do almost anything to solve their need. And so, you know, it's a lot of times we enabling we think we can, and they have to bottom out, and they have to bottom out on their with.
That's
with
God's so hard help. To watch a loved one
oh,
do.
Oh,
it's heartbreaking.
It is. So you've been on the front line in a very important way. So how are you seeing things today? We talked off air about fentanyl and all the things we're seeing, and I know we have a great law enforcement, our sheriff, our police chiefs, the state, but how are we doing?
Well, it's still there. It's still rampant. We are seeing a lot of people in recovery, though. The difficult thing about recovery is a lot of time a relapse is involved.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult to go through as the initial addiction. But most people need somebody to walk through that time with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they come back and then they do recovery. They last in recovery.
Yes.
And they say that when you're in recovery, you're always in recovery. It's like you're never over it.
Mm-hmm.
So you've always got to be on your toes, and it's day by day. And the big thing when they come out of jail is not going back to where you came from.
That's
and
right.
So we start talking about that in day one in our classes. I want you to start thinking about that,
mm-hmm.
because you've got to have a healthy place to go. You cannot go back into the home that everybody's using. A lot of these ladies, their mother got them started using drugs as
generational.
Children. Yeah, as young as 12 years old. So they have just had tragic lives for the most part. Now, there's some that get into addiction, like in their teenage years, just from running with the wrong crowd.
Sure.
But most of them, it started, they've known it all their life.
They've lived it. I mean, it's just part of their, whether it's family or friend, that's all they've ever known.
A big part of Celebrate Recovery is on the fourth lesson, we present the plan of salvation, how to become a Christian, how to be a believer, how to be born again, whatever you call it. And then after that, there's lessons on moral inventory. And it asks them to go back to the earliest that they remember being hurt and who hurt them and what happened. I call it cleaning out your closet or cleaning out from under the rug. And it's an emotional time.
Oh.
They cry. They don't want to do it. Some won't do it. But as soon as they can start doing that and they can verbalize it, that's when they begin to heal.
You know, it's dealing. It's for a lot of your clients, it's maybe the first time in their lives they've ever dealt with it, have tried to deal with it.
Well, it's the first time that anyone has really cared.
That's the key word, isn't it? It's about love. It's about relationships. It's about our Heavenly Father in our tradition. And it's basic stuff. But you said something. The other thing that I've learned and is if you're addicted or an alcoholic. It's every day. You're not. You don't ever just. Woo! I'm healed now.
Mm-mm.
I mean, it's over. You know, there are people who have. You know, so it's a challenge every day. So, anything else that we got a little few minutes left? Anything else in the future? Are you seeing people getting older involved in this? Are they younger? Is it a blend?
It's a blend. There's no socioeconomic level.
There isn't.
There's no age difference. I mean, it's been shocking how many 60-year-old
sure.
grandmothers we've had.
Just finally it's time to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then we have a whole society, you know, like this last weekend. How social, I was just thinking, in football or food and football, our whole way of life, alcohol, for instance, it's just part of our
mm-hmm.
social fabric. And next thing you know, before you you know, well, I'm not getting, you can go along a lot deep into all this, but it's just a way of life that we in America have, a social way of life.
Well, no one gets up in the morning and says, I'm going to become an addict today.
That's right. Today's my day. Yeah.
They don't know
That's
if
right.
it's their day or not.
That's right.
So it grabs a lot of people.
So looking in the future, we have a great community, a loving community, a faith-based community. We've got law and government. We've got churches. Where are we going? Where do you hopefully where we're going is a community and region in this whole area you've dedicated a lot of your life to.
Well, more and more are joining the faith-based. Like Life Recovery is huge here now, and it wasn't here a few years ago.
Was that right?
Yeah. So it is touching a lot of people. We have a lot of people attending meetings.
That's great. That's very important.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, most of them want to eradicate it from their family. And I got to witness the previous class. I picked a lady up the day she got out of jail, and her ex-husband was coming to get her and bringing two small children. I got to witness those children getting to see their mom for the first time in a year.
Oh,
that was the sweetest time.
Yeah.
And they all want their children back. Or
yes.
Most of them do. I know one that did not. But most of them want to get their children back. And that takes a lot of money. And see, they get out and they've racked up all these fines. They don't have a job. They don't have money. They have
deeper.
A felony. And so it's not easy getting out of jail.
Harder.
It's easier to stay in jail.
You know, you got to be careful how you say things, but there has to be, for me personally, meaning is very important. Faith, obviously, faith-based. But the faith-based approach gives, it's doing, other programs are doing fine. This isn't anti any other, but this faith-based is hitting some nerves that may not be hit.
Well, some of them don't know God.
Exactly. This gives a chance to be reborn, to be refocused on life. And
I have a letter from a former class member, and it's how the Putnam County Jail saved my life.
Oh.
She was on 30-something medications and was able to get off of them in jail, started taking all of these classes, took Celebrate Recovery, and got out and got a $60,000 job to start with.
I have chill bumps with that story. And unfortunately, we're out of time, Gloria. God bless you and thank you for what you're doing every day to make a difference in this important area. Gloria Vick, God bless our audience, too. Next time.